Let's start off this morning with a major security hole that was found in Macs this week.
Yes, it feels like there's a long list of issues that Apple's been having lately, some sort of high profile things in a number of sectors. And the latest one, yes, a security hole in the latest edition of their operating system for Mac. It's called High Sierra. So it would have been one of the ones you've upgraded recently. If you're a person that upgrades their operating system all the time, then you'll want to make sure that you're updating it. Because what it allowed you to do was, when you load your computer and you've got multiple users on there, often you can have your faces come up in circles to make it easier to log in and put in your password. You can also have an option where you can change that just to have your name and a password. And if you change the name just to say the word root, which in computer terms is, you know, like the root directory, it's like a bit of jargon.
Home or baseline or something.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you typed in root and left the password blank and pushed enter, you were in.
Wow.
No, like, yes. Yeah. So Apple has put out a really quick fix overnight once it had sort of become known, which did cause another couple of issues, but they're not actually security issues, so that's fine. They're just sort of like more annoying little things that some power users might find frustrating.
Yeah.
So if you do have High Sierra, I highly recommend you update it. And Apple basically wants to apologize to you.
Okay. Well, that's good. Thanks for the apology, Apple. Right, let's talk Tesla.
Thanks.
So Elon Musk was actually in Adelaide a few weeks ago. Yeah, I do find it fascinating. I'm very aware, though, that it's easy to jump on board and be a bit of a Tesla fanboy or girl or whatever. And, you know, it's kind of very cool to be a big Tesla fan at the moment. But this is pretty amazing.
Well, they basically, yes, okay, so they're making cars and they're making trucks. But what they really are is a battery company. All of these cars and trucks that they're doing are battery-based. You know, it's like when Snapchat talks about themselves now as a camera company, because everything's based around a camera. These guys are battery people. And in South Australia, absolutely fantastic. They're taking their battery technology and they're then teaming it up with energy from renewable sources. So wind. So they've built this. There's a big wind farm. They have built a massive, massive battery pack that's 100 megawatts that can run 30,000 households for an hour.
Wow.
And they're using this thing to then basically allow them some buffer. So if the wind isn't there, they can then continue to power things.
Yeah.
And the South Australian government's got on board with this and they've said, hey, we could actually tap into this too. And so they've spent, and it's one of these public-private partnership type arrangements, where they've dropped $50 million into the project so that they can then have access to it too. So that if there's like a blackout or something in South Australia, and instead of letting homes go dark, they can actually power these 30,000 homes for an hour using sustainable energy.
See, that is amazing. And just for a little bit of context here, first of all, I've spent a lot of time in South Australia. South Australia gets very, very, very hot. They have these heat waves in the middle of summer. And I mean, it's not uncommon for it to comfortably exceeding 40 degrees in many parts of the state. Now, the benefit of this system is that, many of the problems that we have with renewable energy, like wind and solar, is that when it's not windy in the middle of the night, you can't access that energy. So you need to store that energy. And the way that most power grids work at the moment, basically, the moment you generate the power, it's soaked up by the system. So, you know, the moment it's piped out over the system, we in our houses are using it. However, this lets the power companies store it for a bit, and we'll store it for quite a while, and they can then, whenever they need it, say there's a big blackout because everyone's using their air conditioners because it's 45 degrees Celsius, they can go, you know what, we need that backup. It's a really clever system, but even more amazing, perhaps, is that he managed to get this up in 100 days. Didn't he bet the South Australian government that if he didn't get it up and going in 100 days, it'd be free?
Free, and they actually needed to use it. There was a power issue with some high temperatures, I believe, the day before they were supposed to turn it on, and they managed to make that happen as well.
Oh, that is,
it's impressive. I mean, Tesla as a company, they've taken on some really ambitious projects. that is obviously it. I mean, working in technology and working in the corporate world doing technology, there's always delays. Projects are always, always delayed. So the fact that someone can commit to a date and say in 100 days you're going to have that is incredible.
It's just, yeah, shocking, eh? It's so good.
What's nice about this technology too, though, is that you can actually have it at home. And so that's what the, that's the technology they're using to power this this big project, is they've got units that you can buy, and they do have them in Australia too. So if you've got solar on your roof, for example, you can take that solar energy and you can store it in one of these Tesla batteries that you put into your house.
Yeah.
So what they've done is just taken seemingly thousands of these batteries they already have and installed them in a massive array, and they can now run 30,000 households for an hour.
Oh.
That is an incredible amount of energy. If you think about how many generators you'd need to do that, they are saving the planet probably quite a bit of CO2.
Yeah, totally. God, it's very clever, isn't it? Hey, Snapchat is getting a new look.
Yeah, I mean, I feel really old sometimes using Snapchat. I don't like it because it's really confusing.
No, I find the same thing. I don't, you know what? It's not intuitive. We're in this day and age where Generation Y is not actually very happy using any technology that isn't really intuitive. We've come to expect things to be intuitive, and Snapchat isn't.
Yeah. And I was just telling your lovely producer, Helen, there, I have not been able to decide if I want a Google Pixel 2 or an iPhone 10.
Yeah.
And I've finally taken the plunge and got an iPhone 10, and it's got all these new gestures and things there. And it's really you pick it up really easily. It is really intuitive. Snapchat, not the case. They've IPO'd in this last year, and they have not been having a good time on Wall Street. And in the tech sector, one of the big things that these that the Wall Street investors are really looking for is audience growth. And if the app is difficult to use, obviously you're not going to attract a whole lot of users. So they will be very excited, I'm sure, that they're paying a bit of attention now to redesigning it. They're going to make it so that all the content that publishers are creating is sort of in one area.
Yeah.
And then all the ways you interact with your friends are in a different area. And they had a really interesting anecdote where they said, the CEO said, because the content beside someone like CNN was right beside you, you felt the ability, you felt, I guess, the pressure to make your content as good as the CNN content.
Yeah.
Because your friends are seeing it right beside each other. Where actually the whole beauty of Snapchat and why it started out is everything disappears and it can be a bit raw.
And it's gone.
And,
yeah.
And it's gone, and it doesn't have to be so polished. And so I think they're trying to get back to their roots.
Oh, nice.
While also trying to grow a new user base.
Nice. Very good. Thanks, Paul. Always good to
You're
chat.
Welcome.